Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Welcome along to the latest episode of the Keegan Odyssey. Is it episode 10? I can't remember.
Who cares?
11, something like that. Double figures anyway. We left it at Keegan. He was at Hamburg. He was enjoying it. But I think the rot was beginning to set in a little bit. He'd become a stray man briefly because he got sent off and went home and had to sit on the doorstep in sub-freezing temperatures until Gene came home. So yeah, he was, you know, it was starting to annoy him a little bit. So I think, you know, he's got wanderlust, as Kev.
He was always he wasn't going to be there for long. He goes there and he basically conquers and then he fucks off to conquer something else. That's his style.
Bit like us. He has a bit of a... He gets tapped up slightly by Brian Clough, Nottingham Forest.
Oh, yeah.
While he was at Hamburg. But it was Peter Taylor, Clough's assistant, who tapped up. And he says, "I wasn't interested when Peter Taylor, his assistant, followed me into the toilet at London Weekend Television one day to mention they might like to sign me."
Aye, aye, Kevin.
Who are you? Peter Taylor. Brian Clough's right-hand man. You sent me in. Got a message from Brian. Do you want to come play for Nottingham Forest? Oh, I don't know.
I play for Hamburg at the moment.
I'm contractually obliged to play for Hamburg.
I'm flattered, of course.
Are you going to give that a little bit of a shake before you put it away, Kevin?
That's the way Mr. Clough would expect you to do it.
Once you come and play for Forest, that's the way things are done. But Kev doesn't like Brian Clough. Clash of personalities. He says, "Cloughy wouldn't have been right for me. I would not have tolerated the eccentricities such as plying players with booze on the night before big matches." Booze again. Booze, it seems to be his Achilles heel, doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, yeah, or maybe he is in fact an alcoholic.
He's not. Look at him, when you look at them bright shining eyes, puppy dog eyes, he's not an alcoholic.
Right. He's bushy-tailed and bright-eyed.
Yeah, but he's definitely got something against booze. His record of taking Forest and Derby into the European Cup put him at the top of his business, but I didn't see the attraction. I was never fascinated by Brian Clough in the way other people were. I wonder if Kev always wants to be top dog in any given situation, the alpha male personality, the entertainer.
Perhaps, yeah. I mean, if you look at it, at Liverpool, you know, Tommy Smith, the clashes with the other stars. I mean, there was a bit that we didn't cover that I noticed, like, the other week when they won the European Cup, and he said, at Liverpool in his last season, I think, and he goes, "Unfortunately, there's not any pictures you can find of me holding it, because all of the other players seem to hell-bent on having it for as long as they can." And then he just writes, "Emlyn Hughes, for one, seemed to have it welded to his hands." And I'm thinking, yeah, because you wanted that money shot of you hold it, the definitive shot of you, Kevin Keegan.
Yeah.
So it was Kevin Keegan won the European. I don't know.
Because he loves an exit, doesn't he? He loves a dramatic exit, and that would have been his last game.
Exactly, and at Newcastle United, which we'll get to, they hadn't won the European Cup or any cup in his last season. So instead,
from the second division.
So instead he just said, "Oh, just get me a helicopter instead."
And he says he became more and more famous as Hamburg started to win more games. And him and Gene couldn't go shopping together any longer because they'd get mobbed. Now, I wonder if shopping was still a problem, if they were still having to, like, do mimes for things they wanted to buy. Like, was it a fuse, wasn't it? I wonder if they were still having to do little mimes for stuff they wanted to get.
Yeah.
He could have used his fans as translators or something like that, couldn't he?
Do you think he was like Rhinestone Cowboy and that he was getting offers of work every day on the phone?
Cards and letters from people he doesn't even know. and offers coming over the phone.
Offers
definitely,
coming over the phone.
Definitely.
I reckon, I don't know when Rhinestone Cowboy was written, well, probably
was
a bit before this.
75.
Yeah.
So I think Keegan probably based his life on that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm kind of like the Der Rhinestone Cowboy.
Some people Germany. In Germany began to call me the Rhinestone Cowboy or Kuntenhausen, that which is German for it, I believe. That's what some of the lads in the dressing room told me anyway.
We had to improvise after Laura, our first daughter, was born in November 78, and we wanted to check out Hamburg's Christmas market. One of our friends, wait for it, Thomas Metalman.
That's actually what it is.
That's his name.
When you told me that earlier, I thought that was a translation.
No, no, I will spell it out. Metalmann. Thomas Metalman.
Metalman, okay.
Probably a robot.
Yeah. Maybe it was Result Spot in the German
Ooh,
rendition.
Might have been, yeah.
1970s German Result Spot.
German dad.
Yeah.
One of our friends, Thomas Metalman, Herr Metalman, Thomas Robot, was going out with a girl from the local amateur dramatic society, so I put on a wig with a pair of glasses and an old beanie hat.
Any excuse?
Any excuse. I love a disguise, me. That wasn't enough, though. That was not enough, he says. And then she set to work with her makeup skills.
Oh.
Applying wrinkles to my face, as well as supersized bags beneath my eyes to age me by about 20 years. So he's cut... in Hamburg market, a wig, pair of glasses, beanie hat. So he's got a beanie hat on top of a wig. As he got bits of wig sticking out the side, yeah, and out the back.
Then on top of that, I'd have another wig. It was like a lasagna. It was layered like a lasagna. It was like wig, hat, wig, hat, wig, hat. Sometimes it would get as high as 5 foot on top of my head.
I said to her, I said, Thomas's girlfriend, make me the tallest disguiser you've ever seen. Amazingly, it worked, he says. We had great fun at the market and no one recognised me till the balloon we'd bought for Laura came loose from her pram and floated away. I went back to buy another one and the man on the stall gave me a knowing look. You don't want to be recognised, huh, Kevin?
Ah, ich bin know who you are, Herr Keegan. Your secret is safe with me.
Now come into the back of this stall. There's something I need to show you. He says... I could disguise my face, but the accent gave me away. Fucking, I couldn't even do a German accent. Mm. He goes on to say, as you may have gathered by now, I do enjoy going undercover.
We have gathered that, have, yeah.
It was in the first paragraph on the first page of the book.
Yeah.
We went on holiday to Disney World some years later, and I thought, maybe naively, my fame wouldn't follow me to Florida. That's wrong. Keegan is global. Keegan's
a global
cult.
Mm, like, yeah. Coca-Cola.
Very much so.
Or those watches that James Bond wears, not Rolex, another one.
Swatch?
Yeah, Swatch.
This episode of Top Flight Time Machine is brought to you in association with Swatch. The watch that we don't know whether still exists or not.
The preferred watch of 007. Pay attention, Bond, this is a Swatch. As you can see, it has different straps that have different colours and you can change them to impress your friends with. Is that it, Q? Well, what more do you fucking want? What, a fucking laser? Well, yes, actually. Fucking Swatch, fuck off. That's the new James Bond, which is coming soon.
Have we seen the title of the new James Bond film?
Hang on. Is it called The Man Who Makes Storms Go Crazy?
No, it's not.
Is it called The Spy with the Gigantic Horn?
The Spy What Did Stuff?
Yeah.
No. It's called Shatterhand.
Yes, I knew it had an amazing name.
It's like they're trying to fucking sabotage the whole franchise.
Right, what are we going to call it? What are we going to call
it? Done all that stuff, all the cliches with the spy who and the man what.
All that.
All of that. We've done some weird ones like Quantum of Solace, whatever the fuck that was. I don't know. What do you reckon? Got any ideas?
Casino Royale. No, done it.
Fucking hell. Boring.
Oh, Her Majesty's Secret Service.
No.
Done it.
No.
All right. Well, it's quite good if you think of a thing and then a body part and then, like, you turn that into the name of the baddie.
Yeah.
Oh. What about Shite Hand? No, it's a bit rude for the kiddies. All right, Shatterhand then.
Brilliant.
Yeah, we'll call it that. Come on, let's go down the pub.
I'll ring Cubby Broccoli. Tell him I've got it.
Yeah, we got an idea for a baddie, right? He's got this hand, and anything he touches shatters. Yeah, no, it's fucking boss. He's called Shatteran, and that's what we're calling the film as well. Anyway, ta-da!
All the films have all got the CGI now, so we think we need a bit of that. So, you know, we'll just get some cartoons made of stuff blowing up and shattering when he touches them. He's like Midas, but a bit of a cunt.
It's modern, right? Everyone fucking loves things shattering nowadays. Look on YouTube, all the kids are at it.
Are you not seeing Marvel Avengers? Planets shatter. Everything fucking shatters. People turn to dust. We need more of that kind of thing.
Cobby, I'm fucking telling you, you're losing touch and your franchise is going to be fucked unless you listen to what we're telling you. Shattering is what the kids want. Shatterhand is the name of the new baddie in the new fucking film.
And if you don't like it, read the fucking small print because you signed up to this.
Cobby sat on a yacht with a big cigar in the south of France. Can't we have the word golden in it somewhere? Golden usually has worked in the past. No one's interested in fucking gold. It's not the 70s anymore.
Golden showers? Something like that, maybe?
They're the fucking 70s. Roger Moore's dead, you silly bastard. It's all about shattering nowadays.
Look, here's a top 10 films from last year. Each and every one of them, so much shatters in them. Telling you. And you've got to get it out now. You've got to get it out next 6 months maximum.
And forget about guns and weapons. People like hand-to-hand combat now, don't they? It's more real, more authentic. That's why we're calling it hand. Shatter hand, not shatter gun. Shatter hand.
Shatter stick.
Shatter hand. That really is like they've just given up.
Yeah.
It's like those, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's basically a... James Bond, we've just given up now.
Yeah. Quite right as well. Mm. Terrible bunch of films.
Yeah.
Kev's in Florida. And he gets recognised. He said, I'd never turned down an autograph in my life, but I was conscious Laura and her little sister Sarah were missing out on all the fun. Mm. This time my disguise came as an American tourist. I bought a green beer Packers top from a souvenir stall. I picked out some glasses with mirrored lenses and I rounded it off with a pair of Bermuda shorts and a baseball cap that had a grey ponytail dangling out the back. I looked a right prat, to be honest, he says. Then I went to get some drinks from the supermarket and the next person in the queue tapped me on the shoulder. Any chance you could sign this, Kev?
The thing is, the truth is, right, Tegan, what he never fesses up to is that he just likes disguises. And that's fine. Some people do.
Nothing wrong with that.
I spent most of my youth dressed up as Dick Turpin. Yeah. Right? And it's like, it's fine. Because if you have a need to take on someone else's persona, someone else's characteristics, that there's nothing wrong. We're not saying it's perverted. But you don't have to keep saying it was for practical reasons. You just have to accept the fact that you enjoyed it.
If you and I had the time and the inclination and the resources, we would go around in disguise as much as we possibly could.
All the time.
Why wouldn't you? If you had a disguise assistant who came round of a morning at 9 o'clock before you set out to work and did you up in some kind of disguise, you'd do it.
So it's like Mr. Ben in a way, isn't it? It's like Mr. Ben if every day you could live a different life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I want to be a cowboy today. Tomorrow I want to be an astronaut.
Yeah. Do we need to do a deep dive of the Mr. Ben?
I'd fucking love to do it.
He only made 13, you know.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think it's one of them that ran and ran? No, just 13.
My brother's first wife grew up on the road upon which Mr. Ben was set.
Festive Road?
Festin. Which is very near where I live nowadays.
It's called Festive in the series.
Oh, okay. So the author, the bloke behind it, whose name you'll know, I don't know, but he lived on Festin Road, which is in Putney,
right,
in southwest London, and he based the drawings on that road, and he obviously changed one fucking letter or two letters.
That sounds better in a kid's story, Festin.
Festin sounds a bit festering, which is disgusting.
Mm.
No one likes things to fester, but festive's better.
Yeah, of course.
But anyway, it was all based in and around that road. So there you go, fun fact.
Okay, we'll do the deep dive sometime in 2023.
This is it!
Back to Hamburg. They won the Bundesliga title. Under Zebek, the new manager, used to sit on a ball hungover and get them to run around a lot and make them all stronger.
Yeah.
And this was not just thanks to Kevin, it was also thanks to Horst Hrubesch, a giant striker who'd signed from Rot-Weiß Essen.
Yeah.
There's a place.
Nickname?
The Header Beast.
Yes, the Header Beast.
Or, in German, Das Kopfball Ungeheuer.
Yes, and it trips off the tongue as well.
So obviously Kopf is head, isn't it?
Kopf
ball is head ball.
Yep.
And then Ungerheuer must be beast. German for beast.
You are like some sort of Ungerheuer. Excuse me. I am getting my languages muddled again. That is how in my country we call that's the monster. No, it's not quite right. The beast. You are the beast, Hedda. Hedda beast.
I wonder if the nickname came from Rot-Weiss Essen with him. What's Rot-Weiss, I wonder? Red is rot. Vice. Red vice.
A vice. Using carpentry.
Yeah, a red vice in Essen. So the Hedda beast was an important sign. Manny Kaltz, he says, was one of the best five footballers I ever played with his brilliant whipped-in crosses from the right. Bit like Nicky Summerby when he was at Sunderland. What? Fucking hell. And Felix McGath was a prompting force in midfield. That's the fellow who pitched up with Fulham a while ago, wasn't it, Felix McGath?
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He was the mad one who insisted on rubbing cheese on their legs when they got injured.
Yeah, and also he was like, he was one of these managers, not unlike the ones that Keith, it's obviously a German thing, who just run them into the ground.
Yeah.
No amount of running is enough.
Yeah. That's the best, I think. That's what all football managers should do. Because they, like you were saying before, they get the afternoon off. Roy Keane was complaining because players didn't like to have to work and they enjoyed their afternoons off grumbling
exactly.
And stuff.
He would have, fuck that. Roy Keane would have loved to have played under Felix Magath.
Yeah. Or Zebek.
Mm.
So Kev says, while other teams were tiring at the end of the season, we won 9 out of our last 10 games. We didn't look back. When we reached the top, we stayed there till everything was confirmed with a game to spare. I was a champion of Germany, scoring 17 league goals in the process. Fantastisch, he puts. Righty, Kev, put this down. I've been saving this up. Fantastisch.
It's a little flourish there.
It's German. It's German for fantastic.
I'm playing with language.
And if you could put it in italics, that'll be even better.
That way people will know that I've not just gone barmy.
With an excitement sign at the end as well. Was that what we called him? The excitement, the fucking exclamation mark, excitement sign.
And he demonstrates when he wants one used by standing up and jumping on the spot.
Right. God, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, fuck me, we've been doing this a long time.
Almost at 1980.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jalapeño.
On top of everything else, he says, this is also the period of my life that he says, no sniggering, please. Oh, we're going to snigger. When I had the makings of my own pop career. To be fair, I have to laugh when I look back at it all. Some of the clips of me singing Head Over Heels in particular, when I was invited on a television chat show in Austria to perform the song. England were playing in Austria at the same time, and all the lads were watching at the team hotel. I had to mime the entire song while sitting on the knee of a middle-aged lady, staring into her eyes and even removing her spectacles at one point.
Oh, fucking hell.
Blimey. Fucking hell, pornography.
I didn't want to do it, but the producers insisted.
I kept the glasses and I used them for one of my disguises later on.
She was very upset, but I told her I had to.
Shall we have a little clip from Head Over Heels at this point? Because anyone's never heard it.
And it looks like I'm falling all over again. Head over heels in love with you. Yes, it looks like I'm falling all over again. Head over heels in love with you.
There it is, Head Over Heels.
Better reached. Or worse than Tears for Fears, Head Over Heels?
We could compare two cultural behemoths there, really.
Apples and pears? No, yeah, I don't know.
Ooh, I would say...
Different moods, different songs for different moods.
I'd say worse, to be fair.
Yeah, it is worse.
Much worse. And he tells the story behind it. Two Yugoslavs from the music industry. any sentence that begins with the phrase, two Yugoslavs from the music industry, can't be not good.
Hello, is that Kevin Keegan? Yes, that's right. At your service.
Okay.
Yeah. What's this? What are you calling about? Who are you?
State your name and your business now.
We are two men from the music industry. Oh, the music industry. Where are you from? What country? Don't sound
it's
English
important.
Or German. Are you Americans?
We are from Yugoslavia.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
It's fairly near Germany.
Oh, all right. Now, go ahead, proceed. What's your proposal? Do you want to make an ice lolly that looks like me?
No,
Kevin, something far more exciting than an ice lolly. I can't imagine what that might be.
You've Try
got,
me.
You have got Double K's interest. Go. I'm glad I answered this call. I wasn't going to. We would like you to record a pop song single.
We're going to make you the biggest pop star in the Western world.
What, you mean like Manfred Mann? Sort of a pop single? Yes, sort of. Anyway.
Freddy the Dreamers, that kind of thing.
No, sitting well, I get to do on a little the dance. Dock of a bay. Oh, I'd love to do a version of that. Be quiet for one moment, Keegan.
You make me feel mighty real. Can I do that one? I like that one.
If you could just be silent for one moment, we could explain what our proposal is
well,
in
try.
More detail. Oh, you got me all of it in there now. Hecky neck.
2 minutes ago, I was just an ordinary footballer. Now I'm going to be the biggest pop star since Elvis.
Keegan, we have a song entitled Head Over Heels in Love. We would like you to record it and release it into the pop charts. We believe it would be a great success. Let me have a think about it.
I've thought about it.
I'll do it. Do you want me to start singing it now? You don't know the lyrics. I can make some up.
Head over heels, head over heels in love with you.
Bingo. Wallop.
It's a hit. That one's in the post.
Okay, here, Keegan. We will give you some time to relax, and then we will call again in a few days once you have discussed this with your wife.
A few days later, they ring back. Hey, Keegan, we are ready to discuss the musical project a little further. Well, the good news is I've written a double album.
And I've got a brand new outfit. It's a cat suit.
I got
That's
a new
what
disguise.
They told me in the shop anyway. It's an all-in-one, dead glittery. And I'm wearing makeup now. Is that part of it?
Actually, the version of it in the book kind of tallies with what we've just done there. The Yugoslavs, two Yugoslavs from the music industry, friends of my teammate Ivan Buljan, had set the ball rolling by coming to see me one day and asking if I fancied making a record. I was game for anything. Too many people are frightened to go outside their comfort zone, whereas it never worried me. I was always willing to push the boundaries and try new things. I enjoyed my dalliance with the music industry and consider it an achievement that I recorded a chart hit. Head Over Heels was written by Chris Norman and Pete Spencer, who were in the group Smokey. Do you remember Smokey?
Yeah. What was their famous hit?
They did that one, Living Next Door to Alice.
Alice?
And who the fuck is Alice? Chubby Brown.
Chubby Brown did it, didn't
he? Yeah. So Head Over Heels was written by the Smokey lads and it stayed in the German hit parade for weeks, says Kevin. He doesn't say how many weeks, but he says weeks.
Two whole weeks. And
lots
that's German weeks, by the way.
Yeah.
And they have 8 days. They fit eight into the same time that we'd fit seven.
Bundesweeks, they call them. It sold 220,000 copies, he says. It hovered around number 10 in the charts. It also reached number 31 in the UK charts at a time when Blondie was number one with Sunday Girl, and the top 40 featured David Bowie, ELO and Roxy Music. So he's pointing out there that...
Brackets, all of which, in my opinion, were shite.
None of which I really understood or enjoyed.
Sunday Girl by Blondie was one of the worst songs I've ever heard in my life.
Sunday is about church and relaxing.
You shouldn't be thinking about girls on a Sunday.
Girls.
You'd never reach it to the levels I did in football if you were spending your old Sundays thinking about a daft girl.
I used to say that to Jean. You know, Jean, I'll never think about girls as long as I'm with you.
Especially not on a Sunday, because God's watching then.
He's really getting into this. He says, I would have liked to have gone higher than number 31, but I did spend 2 weeks above Abbott and the Police, which can't be too bad. Right, let's have a look. Let's have a look at the charts for that week. See what was going down and what was underneath my record. The most famous ones, write them down, Greta Kev. We'll put them in the book. And he appeared on Top of the Pops and also the German equivalent, Der Musikladen, which, of course, is great. German for the music larder.
Do you think the music larder is available on YouTube? Do you think that, because, you know, we're both big fans of Top of the Pops, Top of the Pops 2 and all the old ones they show on BBC 4.
Yeah.
I would fucking love to see old repeats of the music larder.
The music larder.
It'll be all the same bands.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah, but presented by deranged Germans.
Yeah.
Got to be better than Top of the Pops, though, doesn't it?
Guten Tag! And willkommen to the music larder.
Yeah, BBC 4 should start showing them on Friday nights. Now the Top of the Pops has got to 1987, when music kind of went a bit shit.
This is it!
So, Der Musikladen, and he says, there were a few occasions when I must confess I asked myself what the hell I was doing, especially when he was sitting on the woman's knee, taking her glasses off her. Mm. But people did like that song. They used to play it on the bus to games with Hamburg, and even now, I have met people who have it as their ringtone. This feels like a stretch.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
No. There's no need to lie, Kevin. So far, this book's been a historical record.
Yeah, and all the things you've achieved in football are there.
Entertaining,
they're self-evident. The fact that you released a record is great.
Yeah.
And I'm totally behind the whole, he was willing to do things outside of his comfort zone. I think, why fucking not? I don't find it funny.
I myself, I'm stunned it only got to number 31 in England because he was, you know, he was a big star.
Yeah.
At the time. I remember it as being bigger than that. I thought it was top 10.
It's probably one of those songs that everyone talked about and was on telly a lot, but how many people are going to go out and go, I'm actually buying a 7-inch single of that?
Liverpool fans wouldn't, because they were obviously, they'd moved on.
He wasn't with a club in England at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't think, it wasn't like the big pop buying audience like teenage girls. Some of them might have liked him, but I don't think he was a big teen heartthrob, was he?
No.
So that was probably the problem. It's one thing's thinking, oh, that's a bit of a laugh. Like, imagine if, who could we compare him to in modern day football? Imagine if Harry Kane released a pop single.
Yeah.
A few Spurs fans might buy it.
But not many.
No. I can't imagine my daughter or her
mates. Ian Wright did one, didn't he? And that didn't.
Yeah.
That got like number 41 or something like that.
And Andrew Cole did one.
Andrew Cole, not Andy Cole, Andrew Cole.
Andrew Cole did one, yeah.
But there, he's lied. He's basically flat out lied about people having it as their ringtone, which is a shame. And it's got me wondering whether we should carry on with this podcast.
No, I think we should stop and move
probably.
On to Gareth,
not a liar.
Gareth Southgate's book instead.
He adds, it was featured on an album called Franz Beckenbauer's Football Hits, which again sounds like a load of bollocks.
Yeah. I can't remember what the album was called. It was something German. Call it Franz Beckenbauer's greatest hit, something like that.
Which was a massive seller in Germany, he says. And another LP, One Hit Wonders, which also flew off the shelves. You'd love that, wouldn't you? You'd love to have an album full of One Hit Wonders. Jesus Christ. I could have made a fortune from royalties, but I never expected it to take off the way it did. And at the time, I was delighted to be offered a flat fee of £20,000 by the Yugoslavs.
Fucking hell.
Will this make me a millionaire like Elvis Presley?
Yes, no, Kevin.
No, we will give you £20,000.
All right.
Gross. There are some really bad singers who've had hit records and some really talented singers who've never even brought one out. My thoughts were, why not give it a try? He really did think he could top the charts today with this.
Yeah.
He really thought it was going to be his future.
It rankles. I think it still rankles.
It does, yeah. The number 31 UK chart position rankles with him. I can still remember the elation when I heard my record being played on a radio slot called Smash of the Week. My mood was quickly punctured when I realised the title of the slot was a clue. The DJ proceeded to break the record into little pieces for being his least favourite track of the week. Shatterhand!
Shatterhand!
DJ Shatterhand!
Fucking great idea for a show on a radio, that. DJ Shatterhand. I'm just saying, wait, there's a bit of a pause in proceedings there. Is that I was just waving goodbye to the celebrity... Paul Dunan,
yes.
Who was recording his podcast in the studio next to ours, which
studio.
Is another part of our podcasting empire.
A good chance to plug it, I reckon.
The Morning After with Paul Dunan. Get on it, cunters.
It's better than you think it'll be.
All I'll tell you is, before we stepped in to record this, I was in the other studio listening to that, and he had a couple of mates in there. And the last words I heard that I came in here and reported to Andy, as we were about to start this, was he was just saying, he was just telling a story about the flight over to Love Island, saying he had them all stuck up his arse, and every 5 minutes he'd go into the plane toilet and he'd pop out a couple of pills of his bum and then put them in his mouth. I don't know who Danan was talking about, but that's the quality of anecdote that is in store should you wish to download off iTunes, Spotify and all the other usual places. It's called The Morning After with Paul Danan. Anyway, he was just waving goodbye to us there.
Anyway, so yeah, Shatterhan, DJ Shatterhan smashed his record up on the air. And then Hamburg got to the final of the European Cup that season against Nottingham Forest. Mm. Of course, Forest had won it the year before against Malmo, so they were defending the title. And Hamburg were the opponents this time. He says, apparently a couple of the Forest lads tell a story that Kenny Byrne psyched me out in the tunnel before the game by taking out his dentures and grinning maniacally in my direction with his yellow hair sticking everywhere. That's an evocative image, isn't it?
Would that psych you out?
Yes. Mm. Yes, it would.
Yeah.
I would shit myself. Yeah, but then I'm not kind of emotionally prepared to play in the European Cup final, and I probably never will be.
Nah, you wouldn't be nervous in the tunnel before a European final, because you'd just be like, well, it is what it is. You know, I'll go out there, I'll see what happens.
This and that.
If we win, we win. If we don't, well.
It's a life experience.
There's always the podcasts.
Yeah, I suppose so. Larry Lloyd, Kenny Burns' partner in Forest Central Defence, is then said to have come over to me and whispered in my ear that his teammate wasn't feeling too well disposed towards me, at which point I was supposed to have gone ashen and spent the entire match in hiding. It's a nice story, he says, and no doubt gets a few laughs on the after-dinner circuit in the East Midlands, nowhere else, but they are doing themselves a disservice. And he says that the reason Forest won that final was Peter Shilton's goalkeeping,
which of course power play
kept Kev out himself.
Yeah.
And Forest won that 1-0, and this particular season Bayern Munich had won the Bundesliga title. So
it was a bad season. They got to the European Cup final, lost it, and then didn't quite win the league. So Kevin was like, oh heck this, I'm off.
Yeah. Where next? Yugoslavia, perhaps. I can reignite my pop career.
No, Kevin, it's not possible. Hello, hello, am I speaking to the Yugoslavian music executives who helped me release Head Over Heels earlier this year?
We are no longer music executives.
We now work for the government. Oh, good, you'll be able to help then. Are there any football opportunities out there in Yugoslavia? Because I'm thinking of a life change. We are behind the Iron Curtain. It would not be good for you over here. The Iron what? We live under a communist regime. Commune what? Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that time I went to the Russian border and I used my telepathy skills to try and work out what the Russians were up to.
They had me spying. Me and John Toshak. Happy days.
Genuinely trying to remember whether that was a thing that happened or something we made up for this.
No, it was something we made up. Oh, okay. But it may have happened.
It feels plausible.
Under the 30-year rule, we should know by now whether or not the British government, British Secret Services, ever utilised the telepathic skills of Kevin Keegan and John Toshak to spy on the Russians.
Yeah, you're right. I wasn't a lover of Nottingham Forest, or that was more to do with Cluffy than any of their players. And there was no way I could emulate Bertie Vox by turning up at the winner's celebrations later that night. So, and then he says, and that really was it for the Keegan family in Hamburg. It was the kind of experience you could never buy. We had a fabulous time in the best of both worlds, because as well as winning over the German public, I like to think I earned the respect of folk back home by showing it was possible for an English footballer to integrate in a foreign country. He really was a pioneer in a racist world.
He was, actually.
Yeah, he's like Nelson Mandela, really.
He was the closest that we've ever had in this country to Nelson Mandela.
Oh, Nelson Mandela.
Well, I mean, out of this country, it's been non-stop cunts, if you look through history, on the whole.
Yeah.
Our icons, even the ones that they build statues of and make out were heroes, were in fact, you don't need to do much digging to discover that, almost everyone was a cunt.
Yeah.
We've just been dishonest, bullshitting, exploitative fuckfaces.
Yeah.
And therefore, we've never had anyone. I mean, you know, people sneer at the Americans, but the Americans had Martin Luther King, right? We've had Kevin Keegan, and that's about as good as it's ever got. Midgier's a good bloke.
Band-Aid, that's probably about it.
I mean, I personally like Jamie Oliver, but I know that I'm not necessarily in a majority there.
No.
So you're struggling, but Keegan went away. He held out the olive branch to the Germans. Still, if you look back, it wasn't that long since the war.
30 years, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not, yeah, blink of an eye to men of our age now.
Yeah, exactly, 30 years ago, Jesus.
And so I think that he did some great work. I suppose all there is to ask at the end of this stage of the book and probably at the end of this podcast is what's your best bit of Kevin Keegan's time in Germany? Mine is him living with the dogs in the hotel room.
Mine ties up with that a little bit in the sense that he was offered some cheap meat by a teammate.
That's good. And we talked about it on a very early episode, but haven't revisited it here. There was the time where he had a neighbour who had some cheap funny powder, although I'm not sure if any of that is actually in the book. I think we just made it up.
I think we probably did. Yes. Yeah. So that's the end of the Kevin Keegan German section. In the next episode, he will.
That's Quentin Sprinklin. Yeah.
In the next episode, he'll return back to familiar shores, and it all begins with Laurie McMenemy convoluting some kind of story about needing a light fitting from Germany.
This is my favourite bit, so tune in next week for fuck's sake.
Thanks for listening. Bye bye.
Bye.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.